land him. And look at this guy. You think he's into it?
I have no idea whether he's yelling at Martin or Smith.
From February 2nd to February 12th, 2011, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the New York Islanders engaged in one of the most chaotic, unforgettable moments of the 2011 NHL season. While these two teams had history, this particular chapter in their rivalry was something entirely different. It was a full-fledged storm of brawls, vengeance, and retribution. The Penguins and Islanders were no strangers to heated encounters before or after this moment in time. Just before the Islanders' dynasty began, they had already etched their names into the history books as just the second team in NHL history to overcome a 3-0 series deficit and win. And who was their victim? The Pittsburgh Penguins. And of course, no one could forget David Volek's iconic Game 7 overtime winner, which ended the Penguins' streak of 9 consecutive series wins.
Here they come, 2-on-1, Volek shoots, scores! David Volek, Islanders! And there'll be a new Stanley Cup champion in 1993!
However, by 2011, these teams were on vastly different paths. New York was still suffering from years of brutal mismanagement, thanks in large part to Mike Milbury. In fact, as of 2011, the last playoff series they had won was that legendary clash against the Penguins. The Islanders were struggling and rebuilding, their place in the standings reflecting the expected consequences of their turmoil. The Penguins, on the other hand, were a dominant force throughout the 2010s. Yet, after winning the Stanley Cup in 2009, they found themselves in a strange situation, with both Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin missing nearly half of the 2011 season. Neither future Hall of Famer was involved in what was to unfold. Given the disparity in skill level between the two teams, one might not expect a fierce rivalry to form based purely on competition. However, when you play in the same division and see each other as often as these teams do, animosity is bound to arise. So before the chaos of early February erupted, the two teams had already met 3 times that season in old Atlantic Division showdowns. Despite the vast difference in overall talent, the Islanders managed to be surprisingly competitive against Pittsburgh. They lost the first meeting in overtime, won the second in a shootout, and narrowly lost the third in a goaltending duel 1-0, with one thing remaining consistent in every matchup. Fighting. The first game set the tone with Eric Goddard and Trevor Gillies engaging in the man dance just 2 minutes in. This would not be the last time these two squared off. Later, Chris Letang delivered a devastating hit on Blake Como, adding more fuel to the fire. And of course, everyone's favorite player not named Rafi Torres, Matt Cook, made his presence felt, taking multiple runs at Islanders goalie Rick DiPietro. Fast forward to January 25th, 2011, when Marc-Andre Fleury posted a 1-0 shutout. That game also saw fights between heavyweights Aaron Asham and Zenon Konopka, as well as Tyler Kennedy and Travis Hamonic. But nothing escalated beyond standard NHL physicality, not yet. Then came February 2nd. When the Islanders arrived in Pittsburgh that night, tensions boiled over. It all started with Max Talbot, the Game 7 legend himself, delivering a crushing hit on Como, eerily reminiscent of Letang's earlier hit. It was a clean check, but after the game, Como was diagnosed with a concussion. Konopka, infuriated by the treatment of his teammate, sought immediate retribution. He instigated a fight with Penguins enforcer Michael Rupp. Konopka took the extra penalty, and Pittsburgh capitalized, with Tyler Kennedy scoring to put them ahead. 5 minutes later, Chris Kunitz extended the lead to 2-0, and the first period concluded without further incident. In the second period, Konopka vs. Rupp 2 took place, but the real mayhem was yet to come. With just 17 seconds left in the game and Pittsburgh leading 3-0, Matt Cook would find himself face-to-face with Rick DiPietro. The Islanders' goaltender had not forgotten Cook's earlier cheap shots. He introduced Cook's stupid face to his blocker hand. The resulting scrum saw both teams converge near the net, with Matt Martin and Konopka jumping in. Amid the all-out brawl, this happened. Brent Johnson one pump chumped DiPietro, dropping him, ending the goalie fight before it truly began. The rivalry had been reignited. And with these two teams set to face off again in just 8 days, the stage was set for an explosive rematch. The aftermath of the goaltending fight, if you could even call it that, did have lasting consequences. DiPietro was sidelined with a concussion and facial fracture, a moment that many believe signaled the beginning of the end of his career. And as I mentioned earlier, Como also suffered a concussion. The Islanders, understandably frustrated, made their stance clear. Konopka issued a warning. Quote, "We have to remember this. New York was done being the Penguins' punching bag." This was personal. But for Pittsburgh, who had finished second in the NHL in fighting majors that season, it was just another game against their little bro. The Pens viewed the Islanders as non-threats, both in the standings and physically. Still, head coach Dan Bylsma made sure his team was prepared for a rough outing. But I'm not sure any pregame speech could have prepared them for February 11th. Fight night at the legendary Nassau Coliseum. The game began in a surprising fashion. Instead of settling the score with fists, the Islanders dominated on the scoreboard, jumping out to a 4-0 lead in the first period. There were only two fights in the opening frame. Pretty standard for a Penguins game. However, once the Islanders extended their lead to 6-0 and chased Brent Johnson from the net, all hell broke loose. Matt Martin channeled his inner Todd Bertuzzi, attacking an unsuspecting Max Talbot, getting revenge for the Blake Como hit. That set off a chain reaction. Pascal Dupuis and Josh Bailey dropped the gloves. Mike Rupp and Travis Hamonic squared off. Derek Englund retaliated against Martin and received a game misconduct. Nearly everyone involved in that scrum was ejected except Talbot. With the score at 8-2 heading into the third period, the Penguins weren't going down quietly. Brooks Orpik took a big run at Michael Grabner, igniting another brawl. Moments later, Trevor Gillies then launched a vicious attack on Eric Tangrady, throwing punches at an opponent who was already injured and unable to defend himself.
Side Gillies, and Tangray seems to be in some kind of difficulty. Hurt. He looked like he got hurt on the play.
He's down on the play. He was covering his face even before.
Michael Haley wasn't finished either. After dropping Talbot, he set his sights on Brent Johnson.
You better get it. Goddard's off the bench. Goddard's off the bench. Goddard's off the bench. Johnson sold him. Haley sold him, and Goddard's in the middle.
As retribution for the DiPietro injury, Haley took it upon himself to try and take an eye for an eye. Because for some reason, Brent Johnson was back out for the third. He made a WWE-style return for the third period. Eric Goddard jumped the bench in Johnson's defense, fights broke out across the rink, and officials could barely keep up. All while Gillies continued to verbally assault the man he had just given CTE to in Eric Tangrady. Man, watching the referees try to sort out the penalty minutes on a notebook as if they were practicing long division was straight up gold. Goddard got tossed, Adams got tossed, Gillies got tossed, and Haley got tossed. Things would ignite up again 12 minutes later, with Konopka going after Talbot once again before the two got booted from the game. Letang and Okposo would also hit the showers after the two went at it. And after Joe Vitale and Andrew McDonald fought and Ryan Craig got tossed, the Penguins were down to just 8 players with 2 minutes to go. When the dust finally settled, a total of 346 penalty minutes had been assessed, setting franchise records for both teams. The NHL wasted no time dishing out punishments. New York was fined $100,000 for failing to control their players. Gillies received a 9-game suspension, Matt Martin was suspended for 4 games, and Eric Goddard was handed a 10-game suspension for leaving the bench to fight. The Islanders, however, felt no remorse. As Gillies put it, "If the bell needs to be answered, we've got the guys to answer it." Penguins owner, the legendary Mario Lemieux, was disgusted, stating, "If the events of Friday night reflect the state of the league, I'm not sure I want to be a part of it." Chris Letang criticized Haley for going after Johnson, anticipating a fiery rematch in April. But as nearly two whole months had passed, and the Pens focused on winning, and the Islanders continued to struggle, the rivalry really saw no further escalation. And when the teams met in New York again on April 8th, it looked exactly like the meetings before the two in February. A couple scraps, and a game that went to a shootout, ending with a Penguins W. And that, boys, is the story of how the Penguins and Islanders turned the league upside down and unleashed 2 weeks of absolute chaos. Appreciate you boys for watching and sticking around all the way till the end. It really does help the video more than you know. As always, don't forget to like, share, drop a comment, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, let me know what other players or stories you want to see covered next. If enough of you are asking for it, you know I'll make it happen. Thanks again for watching, and I'll catch you in the next one.